Father, we trust this next few minutes to that unlimited power to solve the problems that are manifest in this place. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Romans 1:16, I read, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now these are the words of the Apostle Paul, and they're words that are inspired of God. They've been tested, they've been tried, and they've been proven by every person from every sort of life. And Romans, where we read, was written to people that Paul had never seen. And though he had them on his heart and prayed for them, praying that God, according to his will, might give him a prosperous journey to preach to them, that he might impart to them spiritual truth that would establish them. Sounds like if you don't know what Paul had to say, you cannot be established as God calls established. You can be like concrete, all mixed up and thoroughly set, but that don't mean you're established. For Paul was like God, that is, he would have all men to be saved, but then to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Now, Paul longed to preach at Rome, and yet it wasn't for any temporal advantage, notoriety, or something like that, for he had preached in the major cities of the world, at Jerusalem, Damascus, Antioch, Ephesus, Athens, and Corinth. And he says, "I'm now ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also." And then he states our text, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes." Now, we have had no time, whether you're aware of it or not, when for some reason religious leaders no longer trust the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached by Paul. They seemingly don't think it's sufficient for this day. And it's educated, as I said, accomplished people a few moments ago. But in 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul declared that gospel, and he said, "We preach Christ, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness, but to them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And so, whether out of hatred, shame, or whatever, the pulpits of today are generally filled with almost anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and his meaning to the human race. Even believers are sometimes ashamed to stand up for him in the face of contradicting a Muslim, a Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness, or something of this nature. And yet, the early church threatened and beaten and thrown in jail and warned to preach no more in Jesus' name, not only preached but rejoiced and asked God to give them courage to go out and really boldly speak in his name. For they knew that God's power was manifest in no other name or way. It would be like Moses throwing aside his rod when he went to deliver Israel and say, I found another way to deliver the children of Israel. You see, only one person, one thing, one approach could deliver them from that slave condition in which they existed in Egypt, but God. No other could do it. And so Acts 4 tells us of the first persecution when the disciples were thrown into prison for preaching Jesus and the resurrection. You can find that in verses 8 through 12. And Paul was not ashamed of the story that they told, though he came along a little later. And he called it the gospel or the good news. How God so loved man that he sent his eternal son, who was rich, to join the human race and be the poorest among men and die the vilest of deaths and experience the deepest humility that any person had ever experienced or would ever experience. For an example, let me say, you might take a poor, wayward girl that has grown up in some of the situations like we see them today, and you might see some of the vile people that are in the world and would do a thing like this. Take that girl and strip her naked and put her on the hood of a car and slowly drive her down Broadway. Who could ever tell the humility and the shame of such a thing? But then take a woman who has all of her life shunned everything of that nature and do the same thing to her. She'd rather you put a gun to her head and kill her. You see, Jesus had no sin. He did no sin. He was conceived without sin. There was nothing that was ever in his life that you could accuse him in any way. Which of you can find a fault with me? Which of you can condemn me in any way? And yet that man, he was stripped naked. He was beaten like you could never imagine. He was tortured, and whatever you could use to describe it, and hanged naked, and at that time took every sin that the human race has ever or will ever commit and died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now that's the gospel. That's the truth. And Paul was not ashamed of that story called the gospel or the good news. How God so loved the world that he sent his eternal son, who was rich beyond anything. My head would just pop open if I could realize. Paul, after all that he knew and experienced, was caught away into heaven. He said, I saw something there that there's not words. That man who was a master of the three most expressive languages in the world. That man said. There's no description. And the best way for you to think of that is, no, there's nothing to describe it. These people that tell how they went to heaven and so on and write a book about the flowers. You know, I have no more confidence in that than I have that the sun came up over the mountains this morning from the west. Precious hearts, get wise. Wake up. Follow what the Bible says. The Bible says unlawful. And that word, if you look it up in the Greek, it means it's impossible. There's nothing that could express it. And so, precious heart, Paul was not ashamed of that Christ who one day, when like a mad dog foaming at the mouth, he was on his way on the road to Damascus to commit to that city the people who claimed Christianity and Christ as the means of their salvation. And so he was going to imprison anyone and vote to the death of anyone who dared to preach in that name. And precious hearts, Paul, a person just like you and me, as Hannah expressed it, one day on that road to Damascus, Jesus Christ reached down and lifted him from the dust, took him out of that dunghill where his roots and everything were, and he lifted him up to the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and gave him a glory kingdom. He said, and Paul wrote and he said, you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that you will suffer with him, that you might also reign together with him. So what? Ashamed of that power that did that for him, that had set him free from sin and a powerless religion, ashamed of that gospel that he had seen free other men and other women from every walk of life. He knew it was the greatest display of power the world had ever seen and possibly will ever see. But the world had experienced this man's gospel. Paul knew the gospel of Christ would bring about ultimately the kingdom of God in the universe over everything. His blood and this gospel cleanses heaven itself and delivers any who will dare believe it. Establish you forever in the thought and the plan of God. There's only one thing that's going to do it, Kev. That's this gospel that is too simple for the DDs. Well, you know, dead dogs don't know very much. They just bark at you. Not if they're dead. Yeah, you've got to correct me there. You should have got up and corrected me. Said, Brother Hill, a dead dog can't condemn anybody. Well, bless your heart. It is a serious matter. But let sinners be ashamed of that sin that separates them from God today. God forbid that a believer would ever be ashamed of the gospel that had set him or her free. And in this day, God forbid that I or this assembly ever strike the flag in the face of present day compromise. Tell it like it is. I don't care if you offend the president, the king, the pope, or who you offend, Tell them that a poor, lost, hell-bound Muslim is just as lost as Judas himself. Now let me ask you, what is the gospel? Think about it. I'm not ashamed of it. Simple? Yes. It's as simple as the birth of that little great-grandson. And yet that's a pretty complicated thing as you think about it. You just think about getting that little old, I don't know where the sea came from or the world came from in which the sea was found. I don't know where all that stuff came from, but just think of there being a jelly-like substance and there was a little microscopic speck in that, and you know that little thing somehow developed, and it developed arms and legs and tails and whatever, and it climbed out of that sea of jelly, and it jumped up in a tree, and it didn't like the tree, and it went back into the ocean. And lo and behold, you and I are the results. Now, honey, I can believe a lot of things, but I can't believe that. You can call me a nut if you want to, but I just can't believe that. Why, bless your heart. I have a piece of gum here in my hand. Now, I don't know anything about the people that made it, but I know somebody made it. And if you were to tell me I woke up this morning and I heard a bang and there was a package of this gum. Now, I wouldn't be looking for the nut house for me. I'd look at it for you. Think about it. Think about it. I'll tell you, it'd take a salesman that had powers that I've never seen to sell me a story like that. It's like I went down to this clothier downtown. I've witnessed to them, and I went in there, and I said, look here. I'm in here paying you big prices for these rags. Well, these are not rags. I said, watch them 2 or 3 years and see if they aren't rags. You've dressed them up, but they're rags. And here I am trying to give you the universe, the creator of it, and you won't take him. Well, we don't understand that, neither do I. I don't understand how you made that suit. But I believe it, and I'm wearing it. You see what this adds up to? Don't be a dupe for the devil. Amen. But what is the gospel? It's simply God's way and the only way anyone can ever be saved. You remember how Peter in that 4th chapter of the book of Acts, he said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. So you take him, and I don't care if you climb up to the highest religious throne in the world, you are going to end up in God's eternal penitentiary. It's God's way. 1 Corinthians, the chapter 15, it said, for I have delivered unto you first of all, this is above everything, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how he was buried, and how he rose again according to the Scriptures. But now it's according to my heart, Kev. I know it. I'm like old Fred up there in Alaska. He said to me as we were parting, and he said, "Brother Hill, I feel him right here." He'd been a religious man from a youth, raised on that island and so on. Educated, had a lot of things. But God has given us one very simple way to be saved. It's simple because he loved everybody. Now, if it would have taken a college education, if he'd have said, "Now, Brother Hill, or D.E., or whatever," he would have said, "You're white." Well, I'd say, "Well, I read in the book you loved everybody. You so loved the world. Didn't you love me? I'm part of the world." Well, he'd have said, "Well, you don't have enough education." I said, "I thought I read in there that the wayfaring man, though a fool, he has this way that he needs not err therein." It don't require an education. It don't require a bunch of money. It don't require blue blood parents. It don't require some great achievement in the world. It requires that you know you're a hell-bound sinner. Amen. That's all it requires. And that he so loved you that he took your place in the judgment. And God, who is gracious and fair in all he does, when he looks at you, he says, "My child." Hallelujah. Why? Because, well, I'll get to that here in a minute, but we need to learn what this book says. And don't believe tradition and whatever. As an ex-bishop here said to me, and I've told you many times, "Oh," he said, "you have the Bible, all right, but we have tradition. We have the saints." And I said, "You have tradition, all right, but if there's any saints, they belong to us." Is that right? Amen. Well, why don't you say it? I don't know whether you're with me or not. I see that smile on your face, honey, but I must be saying something you like. So God has given us one simple way to be saved. The gospel is not a religion. It's a person who could and did die for man. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, he said, "You are saved." You are saved. How? By grace. How? Through faith. Why? That not of yourself. You didn't have it. I gave you the faith. It was and is of no works. Don't try to trim your fingernail and say, "I trim my fingernail so I can go to heaven." It's not of works. Any kind of works, good or bad, religious or non-religious, don't try to con me. What could you do for me? I save you by my grace. What's your grace? It's something for nothing. Fact of the matter, it's something when you need to be, have your teeth kicked out. Oh, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now the pure gospel is hated by the world. And when I say the world, I'm talking about the human race. And refused in practice by even many who are born again. Do you know we have millions? And my daddy was one of them. He was one of them old holiness preachers. But he believed you were saved as long as you held on. It didn't take me long to know I couldn't hold on. And so I didn't believe it to do as I pleased. I believed it to please him. You know what the gospel says, honey? It said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's now. That's now. If it isn't now, that's not true. Whosoever believeth in him. Do you believe in him? Amen. Well, that's now. Now, that's kind of a jawbreaker for some of you, and I know it. But I'm just trying to give you the simple truth. And God wants you to believe the simple truth. Now, he's not pleased when you go out here and act like a whatever. Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that lies lie no more. Let him recognize he's a new creature in Christ, that old things are passed away and all things are become new. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just quoting what he said. You see, the gospel, however, we won't accept it like he wrote it, for the simple reason that we can't give up the fact that there's a little bit of good in me. There's no good in you. Read God's record. Do you know how to read a blueprint? In the spiritual, you will read, there is none good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. There is none profitable. Read it. So we must realize the power of the gospel saves us. It don't just stop with taking Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It takes them through the Red Sea. It puts them over into the wilderness, where they forced God to keep them for 40 years without visible means of anything. And then he takes them through a flooding river, and he takes them over and puts them in the land, and walls fall in front of him. They go in and they inherit houses they never built. They inherit wells they didn't dig. They inherit olive groves they never put out. They inherit the things of the land that is his. And you take those poor Palestinians and those Arabs and so on. When they try to get rid of Israel, they're going to find out that they stand by the grave of everybody that tried to bury them and bury them. You're going to find out that if God be for you, nobody can be against you. I believe it now. I don't care if 1,000 falls at my side or 10,000 at my right hand. I'm walking in the shadow of the Almighty. He's my protection. He's the one that's going to take me through, Rocky. Yeah. And I feel kind of spry. Even my left knee is hurting again this morning. I guess I slept wrong. And I got up this morning, I had a toothache in my knee.
You know how that goes, don't you? But I'm going to let you go. I see that old clock caught up with me. You know, I ought to get one of my guns and shoot that clock off the wall. But it does check me every once in a while, and I, especially when I see some of you beginning to droop. God love you. I love you, people. I wouldn't be up here this morning if I didn't love you. And it wasn't because you were pretty or anything like that. I love you like God loves you. He loves you because He sees. Do you realize what all He has? Do you realize billions and trillions of universes? Breathtaking things. Breathtaking things. Who's He going to give them to? He wants to give them to you. You talk about being dressed up like a Christmas tree. I tell you, when you see some of you, it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know something. We know when we shall see Him, we will be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Well, God honors no other but the gospel whereby we must be saved. How does it work? By faith. It is the power to everyone that believes. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me shall not perish, as the kids sang that song. And my mind went back to Bob, can't call his name, had the program, Good Ship Grace. One of my best friends and Bob were good friends, and they shared ministries out on the West Coast, and he told me about an experience that they had, and you'll pardon me for running over about 3 or 4 minutes, and I'll tell you about that. It'll make it live to you. One of the men that sang in his quartet developed cancer in his tongue. Well, they finally brought him to the surgeons and the experts on cancers and so on. And the man told him, there's only one hope. We're going to have to take your tongue out. Now, I'm telling you a true story. And so he figured that was the only way to live. And so the morning of the operation dawned. And they put him on the operating table. Brother Bennington knew him well. And they told him, is there any last thing you'd like to say? Do you realize when this is over, you will never speak again? He said, well, let me sing a song. And he sang the song they sang this morning. And they came to that last verse. And he said, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, I'll sing it again in heaven, son. See, that tongue that we're going to have over there, it's beyond cancer. You talk about stainless steel. That one is stainless. And that's what's going to happen. He never came out of the surgery, Laurie. He died. went to heaven. Well, I'm going to call pretty soon. Maybe today. Oh, do you think he could come today? I do. I tell you, he's got that road that's straight as an arrow. And he wants you to walk it. And when it's over, Ben, oh, I'm so glad that way back yonder, over 70 years ago, I too was like a mad dog on the road to destruction. And Jesus lifted me out of that dunghill. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. But since that time, I've learned a little bit of what he did for me. Wonderful. Oh, it's so good to see you, darling. You've been away from us for a long time.
Oh, I know. And I miss you.
Yeah, I bet you do. No, I said bet.
I heard you.
I told my good friend out there in Las Vegas, he said, Brother Hill, he was over the big roulette bunch. His brother was over that big baccarat deal where you have to have, I believe it was $65,000 to get in the game. They love Brother Hill. They know Brother Hill. They said, Brother Hill, we've got some old one-armed bandits over here. Right over here, he showed, pointed them out to me. He said, we've got them so they'll pay you a little if you'd like to go over and play them. You know what I said? You could guess, couldn't you? I said, Bobby, I stopped living by chance several years ago. If God wants me to have $1 million, he'll just drop it in my path somehow, some way. Oh, you say he can't do that. You need to listen to him talking to that Abraham and Sarah about that child. Neither one of them could ever have children, and now it's done. And here God comes up and tells him an impossibility. He said, Abraham, I know you're 99. I know you stopped being able to have a child. And that wife of yours that is 90 and who could never have a child, in the next few months she's going to have that boy, I promise you. Oh, she giggled like a young girl. He said, why is Sarah laughing? Oh, she said, oh, he said, yes, she did now. But listen, is anything hard for me? You're going to trust him now? You're going to walk out of here and say, I'm not going to trust somebody like that. He told me something's impossible. I would hope that if he told me the sun was coming up over the mountains in the morning, I'd believe it. Huh? Someone said to me yesterday, Brother Hill, if he was out in the river and needed to walk on the water, would you do it? I said, not unless he told me. If I tried to walk on the water without him telling me to do it, you might have to bury me. Shall we pray? While every head is bowed. Oh, may your heart reach out to him. He loves you. And he's not willing that any should perish. But he don't stop there.
He'd have all men to be saved, and he wants you to know the truth. And the majority of God's precious people don't know the truth. Don't you know that? Someone printed one of my sermons, radio sermons, that I preached 50 years ago. And I'm telling them, if the Lord tarries, put it in a tract. Now, I didn't know I preached that good 50 years ago. And so, Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you've given us that privilege to value the name of Jesus in your sight. And we know that in his name we can do all things that God wants us to do. So take charge in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, come. And if anyone in the building wants to come and give your heart to God, or if you want to renew your fellowship, if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, don't pass up this opportunity. Come and seek him while you can find him, and call on him while he's near. All right. Clark.
God in heaven, we're thankful this morning, Lord, for your love to us. Lord, there's no way we could ever tell you thank you enough. Jesus, we ask that you would bless this part of the service now, Lord, for your glory. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. This is not a closed communion. If you're a child of God, God urges you. Don't try to judge someone else. Call anything that you might have that you think is between you and fellowship with him. He'll take care of the rest.